But now it's 4:30 and time for In Tune with Sean Rafferty.
Penny, thank you very much indeed. I'm just outside our little TARDIS here, our temporary home in the sunny South Bank. Welcome to the InTune pop-up Friday salon. We've been on wheels to Salford before, but it's very nice to be not quite beside the seaside, but beside the wonderful River Thames. Joining the melee at the Royal Festival Hall today, the pianist Christine Ortiz, Neil Hannon of Divine Comedy. And just before I introduce our super excellent band who are resident with us, a very warm welcome to our Passeggiata type audience who are passing by but stopping to linger quite sensibly. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being with us. You'll be clapping more when you hear our works band tonight. They are musical royalty. If they brought all their awards with them, they would sink an Elizabethan galleon. They have spent a week at Hatfield House in Hertfordshire, part of it under a spreading oak tree where Elizabeth I heard she was going to accede to the throne. So they've been inspired by music of that era, but they are turning it into their own inimitable wonderment. We'll meet them after they play for us, and appropriately, the first piece is called London. Please welcome the Elizabethan Session.
I tell of London, building seven houses high, perfume of the ladies, all the ways a man can die. And the woman king, she's 10 feet tall, dresses all in white, shines all over England, though I've never seen the light. There's bands of killers, drunk out of their minds. The forest is their killing floor, the fields and abattoirs disguise. And I'm shaking like a leaf upon that tree. It's travel that can make a man, but leaving home will end me. I fear what may happen if I go out on the road. I dare not walk into the dark. I hear tell of raiders. Well, my brother went to sea. They come up from the underworld to piss all over Galilee. I will not wander to the coast. I leave the seaside well alone. Terror in the footsteps. There's a clamoring inside my bones.
Feel what may happen if I go out on the road. I dare not walk into the dark.
That which I tried to mend with tired hands. I want nothing better than to carve my way through this bloody land. Down to London, where London waits for me. London. Every time I go to sleep, I stalk among the courtiers, a wolf among the sheep. She made me wealthy and wise. I am unafraid of the night, till I'm woken by the shadows closing in to grip me tight. I
feel what
Thank you very much indeed, the Elizabethan session, the voice of Mr. John Smith. And what a lineup we've got here. I'm just going to whiz around them all so they can say hello, so you can just, you'll recognise the names and you will certainly recognise the quality of the music.
I'm Emily Askew, and I'm playing fiddle, viol and hurdy-gurdy today.
Yes, Emily can play anything from the Renaissance right up to the present. And going over to our gleaming Steinway.
My name is Jim Murray, and I'm playing assorted keyboards.
My name's Hannah James, and I'm singing and playing the accordion and feet.
And feet as well. And we've got the harp here, a gleaming blue harp.
Yes, I'm Rachel Newton, and I'm singing and playing the electric harp.
And we have four more to go. We've got the voice himself. Just tell us, whose London was it?
It was the terrified peasant's London, the mythological London of the Elizabethan era.
We're in a very dicey place. If we were on the South Bank at that time, we'd been full of footpads and cutthroats.
It would have been horrible, yeah, dreadful.
Don, I'm glad we're on the right spot. And
Martin Simpson playing guitars and banjos and singing and having fun.
And he has won more awards than almost anybody on the planet.
I'm Nancy Kerr. I'm playing fiddle and viola and singing.
Fantastic. And our final member, who is actually the folk singer, BBC Folk Singer of the Year, 2014.
Thank you. I'm Bella Hardy, and I'm singing and playing the fiddle.
She's still Bella Hardy. She may be the Folk Singer of the Year, but it's fine. What a lineup! How did you all get together? Because you've had a week at Hatfield, and I know you've already done a concert there. So what did you do? Did you sit around and drink mead and think creatively?
Well, we actually had a week in Monnington over in Hereford. We were at Hatfield yesterday, and we went to Hatfield before that to learn and absorb from the area. We were all asked by the Folk by the Oak festival organisers, who put a brilliant festival on at Hatfield in July, and by the English Folk Dance and Song Society, who have been collaborating on this. We were all asked by them to come together in this house in Hereford, and we haven't drunk much mead, but there's been some Sauvignon Blanc vanished.
Oh, it doesn't sound very folk-like somehow.
Not very Elizabethan of us. We should really have stuck to the mead and the ale. There was an ale made especially for us, which is very lucky. But we've just been absorbing each other's music and creating these pieces of music together.
So, I mean, Nancy, how collegiate can you be when it comes to making music like this?
Well, I wasn't really sure how this would happen, you know. I mean, some of us have collaborated before, some of us have never met before, but something happened, something alchemical actually happened in the house, and hearing each other's stuff, and also hearing some of the history from the period from Ian Mortimer. Dr. Ian Mortimer came and talked to us about travelling back in time to Elizabethan England, and I think it really inflames something in our creative minds. So it's been incredible, really, really rich.
I hope, as advertised, you did sit under the spreading oak where Elizabeth I reputedly received the news.
That's right, that oak is in at least, I would say, three of our songs, maybe four of our songs. So that oak is, it's like a member of the band.
Yes. Finally, Martin, I mean, as I said, You've won more awards than anybody else. You've been nominated so often. You've won so many folk awards. Do you keep them? You must put them in a storeroom.
No, they're on the shelf.
You've got a very big shelf.
The award shelf, yeah.
the award room, I should think.
Not quite, no.
So how do you get on with all this great mixture of musicians?
I love these people. They're astonishing. I mean, I've worked with several of these people in advance, particularly Nancy, and I love it so much. Everybody else was pretty much new to me, apart from Jim, and they're all astonishing, and they all brought so much to the sessions, in musical terms, in writing terms, in terms of enthusiasm, in terms of culinary skills.
Oh, culinary skills, very useful.
We've been self-catering, and we're good.
I'm sorry you didn't actually bring those skills here. There's such a vogue for cooking programmes and wine. I think our audience here at the South Bank would have been very happy to see what you could rustle up, I'm sure. We'll come back and talk to the rest of them later, but it's wonderful to have you all here. Thank you very much indeed. So this is our resident band tonight, and we're very, very happy to have you here as part of our residency in the South Bank. They'll be playing for us later. Well, our band are back. It's a great pleasure to have the Elizabethan sessions. We had it earlier. They spent a week together huddled in Herefordshire by gutted candle, swilling beer specially made for them, knocking back Sauvignon Blanc, cooking a storm, and also making music in a big communal pot. And I'm glad to say it has come out very nicely. A lot of you will have heard it at Hatfield in Hertfordshire and the Ale Palace last night, Cecil Sharp House in London tomorrow night, and live as our resident band on South Bank tonight. It's lovely to have you with us. Take it away. It is going to be, I think, Sounds of Hispaniola, is that right? Or Sounds of Hispania? Sounds of what? The Shores of Hispaniola. I was nearly right. Thank you.
They came in the night and their ships were as black as the ocean. It was Hawkins, the dread privateer, and all of his crew. They had whips, they had shackles and cannons to serve Gloriana. And they've taken my love to the shores of Hispaniola. My love, he was strong and he looked to his land and his children. Proud, unfettered and free, he walked in the sun. Now he's bound for the darkness of England to serve Gloriana, or to spill out his blood on the shores of Hispaniola. Well, Albion sailors are nothing but thieves on the water. They have riches and gold in great store that's none of their own. They have saffron and sumac and rubies to feed Gloriana, as red as the blood of the slaves of Hispaniola. Well, a curse on the pious and holy of glorious England. You masters of martyrs attending to Albion's soul. Your vestments and sacraments sanctioned by fair Gloriana. They are washed in the blood of the slaves of Hispaniola. Vagabonds, gypsies and masterless men, they will tear down the walls and the castles of fair Gloriana that are built from the bones of the slaves of Hispaniola. Ships were as black as the ocean. It was Hawkins, the dread privateer, and all of his crew. They had whips, they had shackles and cannons to serve Gloriana. And they've taken my love to the shores of Hispaniola.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Well, there you are. There's material for the Elizabethan age, and it may be golden, and Gloriana may be celebrated. She may have inspired music and madrigals. There's an awful lot of dastardly things going on. Nancy Kerr was singing about what material? I mean, where did you find this? This is all part of the Elizabethan inspiration, historical inspiration.
Yes, I mean, in talking to Dr. Ian Mortimer about... I guess the darker, like you say, the darker time of that period. And as a folk singer, I'm always looking at what was happening at the bottom of the food chain, really, for poor people and ordinary people and people with and without masters in England. And so now, as Ian puts it, Elizabeth reinstated England as part of the slave trade, and that was taking people from Guinea to Hispaniola, which I think is now the Dominican Republic, we call it. So that's what that song was looking at.
There are all sorts of nasty little corners, I'm afraid, wherever you poke in world history, are there not?
Absolutely, and I mean in songs too. So, like I say, that's in some ways our job, but it also gives you a way of looking at things. So that song is for is our way of introducing England through the eyes of someone who is not in England at that time, but suffers and you know, lives along with that country's history.
Yeah. How long did that take in the gestation? Did you have an idea? Did you find the words? Did you find the poetry? Did you find the story first?
I wrote it on the first morning, just before breakfast.
Oh, how irritating. If she wasn't so good, it'd be really irritating, wouldn't it? I hope you had a hearty breakfast afterwards.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nothing imported, everything from the land.
Ale, a bit of ale.
Well, listen, we're going to hear more from you now, and it's very nice that you're here all the time. Martin, was there an equal division of spoil? Because it's very hard to be creatively democratic, isn't it? Somebody's got to have an idea, and you've got to run with it, really.
Well, because Nancy started the whole thing off by writing a song...
She can do what she likes.
Exactly. So we'd encouraged her to actually come up with more material... but everybody wrote. Everybody wrote. Everybody brought a massive amount. Emily wrote tunes like Nancy wrote songs. So between the two of them, we just had to fill in the gaps, really.
Oh, that's terribly easy there. Now everybody here knows how it's done. You just have a tune, a few decent words, and you find a few friends who are quite good at it to fill in the gaps. Are you a good tunesmith then, Emily?
I wrote a number of tunes in the week that were inspired by dancers of the time. So I wrote Caban and Galliard. And it was quite interesting taking the modes and just little snippets of melodic ideas from pre-existing Cabans and Galliards from the times and then interspersing mine and creating something new.
Wonderful. Well, that's a marvellous way of renewing heritage. You've got an array of fiddles with you today. Just tell us about the most exotic one, which is a viai. It's a little bit like a violin. Quite like a violin.
Yes. This is actually a medieval-style violin, and it went under a number of different names, but viel stuck. It does look a little bit like a flat-pack IKEA fiddle, but it's very basic. It's got a flatter bridge, so I can play three strings at once. It's all gut strings, which are a nightmare to tune in this temperature. And the bow's a bit more like a bow and arrow. It's more bouncy.
Wonderful. Well, look, hold it up to our assembled audience, who, of course, are longing to have a look at it now. We'll not mention that famous store. Let's just say it's Blonde Wood. So it's a sort of fresh arrival on the scene. Well, I'm going to make my way back and squeeze past Hannah's accordion. Not too sure that's very medieval, is it?
No, not really. I just had to muddle my way through somehow.
I think you've all muddled your way through absolutely brilliantly, and thank you for being with us. What's going to be? Do you know what's next?
It's a song by Bella, actually. So. Oh,
okay, we'll let Bella introduce it. She's poised.
It's a song, it's just called Hatfield. It's a rather modern song, really, but based on a memory I have of my sister being in a play at Hatfield House playing Queen Elizabeth when she was 14 years old. I was 8 at the time, but I have this memory of her, and it sent me into looking into Elizabeth's own childhood and Hatfield House, and this is the song that came out of that.
Well, it really does evoke memories, doesn't it, with the park and the tree and the portrait of Elizabeth in the house. So just drift very gently into the countryside and you're there.
Specifically for her, the copy of a royal gown 4 times as big.
She's playing at being a queen, playing at being a king in an itchy orange wig. My sister steals the scene. In a house fit for a monarch, there the daughter of a throne acts out a childhood of confusion. When at less than 3 years old, your mother's head rolls by your father's hand, how can we understand? Then a lady, then a queen, sweet sister Temperance, who are we, the hide between? Oh, how strange our siblings known and grown and gone, but still I hear those laughing calls of Hatfield.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed, Bella Hardy and the Elizabethan Session Memories of Hatfield. And they'll be back to play more for us later. Sounding absolutely marvellous. Folk by the Oak is the annual music festival based at Hatfield House in Hertfordshire, a wondrous place, the childhood home of Elizabeth I. And they were there at the Old Palace last night. They're at Cecil Sharp House at Regent's Park Road today. And I think the big gig, John Smith, is in the summer, isn't it? Big festival in the park?
Oak by the Oak.
Oak by the Oak? You're supposed just to shout the date. 20th of July. He hasn't got it in his diary. 20th of July. Thank you very much. May the sun shine upon you. We'll more of that later. Well, we're nearly out of time here. Sadly, time has rushed past, but it's wonderful to have all our fabulous musicians in the band tonight, the Elizabethan Session. And may I just remind you, you should feel very envious of the talent we've got here. Martin Simpson, Nancy Kerr, Bella Hardy, Jim Murray, John Smith, Rachel Newton, Hannah James, and Emily Askew. And the three graces that are Rachel, Hannah, and Emily have arranged this last piece for us. Does that mean it is going to be gracious or not?
I'll let you decide that. It's a poem by Amelia Lanier, who is the fourth ever woman to have written works published in this country, and it's a fantastic rant, really.
Oh, a fantastic rant. What is it a rant about?
It's called Eve's Apology in Defence of Women, and it addresses the creation story and quite cleverly puts... It says it's not Eve's fault.
It's not Eve's fault. We never thought it was, I must say. We're not going to be sexist. I'm going to give you the last word to the harp.
This is Eve's Apology in Defence of Women, and we're going to go into a tune called Gather the Owls after that.
But surely Adam cannot be excused. Her fault though great, yet she was most to blame. What weakness of her strength might have refused, being lord of all the greater was his shame. Although the serpent's craft had her abused, God's holy word taught all his actions frame. For he was Lord and God of all the earth, before poor Eve had either life or breath. Eve's fault was only too much love, which made her give this present to her dear. That what she tasted he likewise might prove, whereby his knowledge might become more clear. He never sought her weakness to reprove, with those sharp words which she of God did hear. Yet then will burst of knowledge which she took from Eve's fair hand as from a learned book. Then let us have our liberty again, and challenge to yourself no sovereignty. You came not to this world without our pay. Make that a bar against your cruelty. Your fault being greater, why should you disdain? Our being your equals free from tyranny. Woman simply dead offend, this sin of yours hath no excuse nor end. If one weak woman simply dead offend, this sin of yours hath no excuse nor end. Thank you.
Well, that was truly fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, Elizabethan Session. What an assemblage of talent. What a joy it has been to have you with us. Thank you very much indeed. They're at Cecil Sharp House tomorrow. They've been recording new pieces at the Old Palace at Hatfield House, and the Folk by the Oak Festival will be there on the 20th of July. May the sun shine upon you, and thank you for being with us today. We're out of time. Harry the Piano will be here on Monday. If you have any requests, at BBC In Tune, London-centric, if you like. He is absolutely hilarious and brilliant. Do join us. We're here for another week. It's been a great pleasure to be in residence. But now on Radio 3, it's time for the final part of this week's Composer of the Week.